You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 1960s Reboot Podcast, a proud member of the Electronic Media Collective. Visit the collective at electronicmediacollective.com. The 60s Reboot Podcast is produced by Matt D. You can find the show at 60sreboot.blogspot.com. You can also subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or just subscribe to the RSS feed. You can also follow Matty D on Twitter at 60sreboot2. Plus, you can email the show at 60sreboot@gmail.com. That way, if you have any suggestions for a show, please feel free to email in at 60sreboot@gmail.com. And now, the rules for our show. We take a look at a classic 60s television show and recast it for today's audience. Actors and actresses we choose must be living and working in the TV industry. Now that you know the premise, let's start our show. This is Matty D here. Today, we have a special guest from the fictional land of Gnomeville, our friend, the wonderful, the man of the hour, Jerry the Gnome.
Hey, thanks for having me on again. It's great to be here. How you guys doing today?
There's only one of me and one of you, so we're kind of the guys.
Right. All right, technicalities. I'm just saying, how's it going? It's been a while. A whole two episodes, maybe three. Hell, what number is this? Episode 5, 6, 10, 25? Look at me, I'm Tom Brady calling out call numbers.
All right. Well, Jerry, thanks for coming up to join me for the show.
What do you mean coming up? Is that a short joke?
No, it's not a short joke.
All right, cool.
Okay, Jerry, so what's new in your life? How's that podcast coming?
Oh, good. It's really coming along nicely. I'm definitely writing a semi-script kind of thingy before I actually start recording and getting things all lined up and picking out music and all that wonderful. All right, look, I'm a level with you. I'm a lazy man. I haven't done jack squat towards making the Leprechaun Wars, War Journal War thingy. I just like talking about it, because it's war, man. War.
All right, well, thanks, Jerry, for that rather melodramatic intro.
Hey, don't talk about melodramatic, man. You want melodrama? Check out, check out, like, any TV show that you want to watch, you know, drama for, like ER. Yeah, that's still on.
I don't know, Jerry. Let's just move forward.
All right. So anyway, you put a poll out there on Twitter so that all of our audiences, all four of them, could vote on what show to have next. And well, we got a crazy amount of votes, didn't we?
Yeah, a crazy amount of votes.
So our big winner for the poll is actually the only one that got voted on, Gilligan's Island. That's right, one vote. Thank you, the one listener.
Yep, that's right. So today's show is going to be on Gilligan's Island.
All right, well, cue the music here.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
The mate was a mighty sailing man,
the skipper brave and sure.
Gilligan's Island is an American sitcom created and produced by Sherwood Schwartz. It aired for 3 seasons on the CBS network from September 26, 1964 to April 17, 1967. The series followed the comedic adventures of 7 castaways as they attempted to survive the island on which they had been shipwrecked. Most episodes revolved around the dissimilar castaways' conflicts and their unsuccessful attempts to escape the island, most of whose failure failure was on Gilligan's fault. Although the series only lasted 3 seasons, it got its major following in syndication in the 70s and 80s when it ran in the afternoons on weekdays. The show became a cultural icon by even today's standards. After the show's cancellation, it spawned a made-for-TV movie and 2 Saturday morning cartoons. Even though the series focused on the 7 castaways, it did have its fair share of guests, like Zsa Zsa Gabor, Don Rickles...
Hold on, wait a minute, Matty D. Did you say Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, man, Zsa Zsa Gabor. Man, she was a bombshell back in the 60s, man. You ever see that show, Tonight Show with Johnny Carson?
Yeah, like back when Johnny was alive. And
oh, man, she had a great spot on there. You look it up on that TubeUse or whatever you call them on them interwebs, YouTube, BuzzTube, I can't remember what they call it. Anyway, check out her interview with Johnny Carson. She was came in with this cat on her lap, and she asked Johnny if he wanted to pet her puss.
Okay, hold on. Let's not get too graphic here.
All right, yeah, where was I? Oh, yeah, so, yeah, Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I'll tell you what, Jerry, let's not get into that. Let's go ahead and just continue with what we were talking about, the 7 castaways having guests, you know, because they also had Don Rickles, Kurt Russell, and Hans Conrad.
Oh, yeah, Kurt Russell, yeah, I like him, you know. Wait a minute, isn't he an old man now?
Yeah, but back then, you know, it was the 60s, and Kurt Russell was a young kid back then. You know, he had, he was like a Disney kid actor.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. All right, so, yeah, so they had guest stars.
And, let's see, many of the guest characters wound up on the island as the castaways themselves. But at the end of the episode, they managed to find a way off the island, and through some kind of folly, unable to mention the 7 castaways on the deserted island. Now, let's take a look at our 1960s reboot cast. All right, Jerry, since you're our guest today, how about you start us off?
All right, cool. Fantastic. I really like this show. Good old Gilligan's Island. Hold on a second. I gotta take a drink. Hey, you mind passing me that mug?
Oh, sure. Here you go.
That's a refreshing beverage you got there. Hey, what is this anyway? What do you got this in? The Roman Pod and Cast. What's that?
Oh, that's a free mug I got from the Roman Pod and Cast. Yeah, if, listener out there, if you like Canadian humor and comedy and, you know, really great jokes about the Great White North, check out the Roman Pod and Cast. I've been listening to them, and they're a really good show. I would definitely give them a 5-star review. So if you get a chance, check out iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or the EMC Network for the Roman Pod and Cast. And tell them Matty D sent you.
All right, well, you got your plug in. Okay, so what's next? Right. Back to Gilligan's Island. Oh, ships at shore in the heart of this inverted desert isle. Brother Gilligan, the skipper do. The gnomey gnome, man the gnome, the gnomey star.
Okay, Jerry, just let's roll on with our main, you know, guy, you know, kind of started off.
Right, all right, sorry. All right, first up is our titular character. Titular, that's a fun word to say, don't you think, Matty D?
Yeah, that's why I wrote it down on the script.
Hey. Don't show them how the sausage is made. Come on, man. This is totally unscripted. Like, right here, what I'm talking, unscripted. Complete jibber-jabber. The only thing we have are notes. They're not scripts, they're notes. And titular's a fun word to say. Titular. It's got tit in it. Yeah. And this is a explicit podcast, so I can say tit, titty, tit, mouse, tits, 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 tits.
Okay, Jerry, come on. Let's get on to Gilligan.
Right, all right. Jeez, take all the fun out of a show. Man, you're the only show. Suck the fun out of something. All right, Gilligan, originally played by Bob Denver. Now there's a guy who knew fun. Yeah, Bob Denver. Tell you what, he definitely liked to party, you know. A little bit of that, you know, stuff they legalized in Canada. You know, stuff that's up in, Colorado. You know what I'm talking about? It's got the THX and the CBD oil. Okay, Jerry, we get the idea. Come on, man. All right. Gilligan was the first mate on the yacht, the SS Minnow. He was a clumsy and bumbling character that always did a majority of the work on the island as well as on the ship before it was stranded on the deserted island. Wow, I said island a lot in that sentence.
This is cursed forever.
Thanks for taking over the digging, Skipper.
Now, look, you don't believe these native superstitions, do you?
He sure does, Professor. He's always telling me terrible stories about these islands, sacred gods and curses.
Surely you don't believe in that nonsense, Gilligan.
Surely I don't, but I do.
So, basically, you know, he was the main character. He did all the hard work, and, and he was played by a real funny guy. He liked to party a lot, you know. Bob Denver, man, he knew what he was doing. I mean, heck, he wrote that song, you know, Mountain Road, Rockin' Road, whatever, you know.
Jerry, that was John Denver, and it was Rocky Mountain High and Long Road. Yeah, I don't listen to John Denver, but you get the idea. That was John Denver. He was a musician. Bob Denver was the actor.
Right. Okay, well, anyway, so for my pick of the 1960s reboot for a modern-day cast, who would I pick to play Gilligan? I would pick the great Grant Gustin. Ha, there's your alliteration. The great Grant Gustin. So, audience members who don't know who that is, if you haven't watched the CW's The Flash, he plays Barry Allen, and he's also The Flash. So, look, this is what I think. So Grant, he can do serious action kind of thing, and he can be a little brooding in that TV show The Flash. When he's pining for the old Foyards, or as I like to say, pining for Iris West. So he can do all that, but what's really cool is he can actually do some comedy, you know, and he's a great, you know, singer. So he's got some timing down. So I think he could definitely pull the comedy portion of Gilligan's Island as Gilligan. I mean, think about it. The guy already wears a red suit in The Flash. He could totally wear a red freaking t-shirt and white khakis. Run around getting hit by a skipper all the time. Yeah, that's who I would pick. Grant Gustin.
Okay, well, that's your pick. But for my reboot, I would go with a younger actor. Although I don't think he's as young as Grant Gustin. But he's got experience with physical timing, as well as being able to play a comedic role. The guy I picked was Charlie Cox. Charlie has been playing the role of Matt Murdock / Daredevil on Marvel's Netflix.
Hey, wait a minute. So we both picked, like, two actors who are superheroes that wear red suits.
Well, not necessarily, because Daredevil's suit went back to being black with the headband in the last season. He was that in the first season. So really the only time he was wearing the red suit was in season 2 and I think The Defenders. But we really...
All right, whatever. Look, either way, we both picked superhero actors that are in a red suit. So obviously they can wear a red shirt, you know, not like that other TV show that created by Gene Roddenberry where if you wear a red shirt, you kind of die.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, the Star Trek Wars show... Yeah, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You got a problem with Star Trek?
No, not at all. In fact, I rather like Star Trek. It, you know, here, I'll you know, may the force be with you.
Oh, don't do that. I hate when you do that.
All right, jeez. All right. So, Charlie Cox, you know, the Daredevil actor, Daredevil role is definitely a more serious role, a lot of action, a lot of hitting, a lot of fighting, but it requires a lot of physical timing. But also, Charlie was in the film Stardust, and his role was a little more comedic, so he definitely has some experience in comedic acting and again, with timing. Plus, he kind of has that same look Bob Denver had, you know, he's got the hair, he's got, you know, the probably about the same height, so I would definitely go with Charlie Cox as my Gilligan. Next up is Gilligan's boss, the captain of the Minnow, the Skipper, originally played by Alan Hale.
Which way did you say, Gilligan? Sorry, Skipper. I'm sorry. I was just tying my shoelace. My shoe is untied, Skipper.
All right, Gilligan. I know your shoe is untied. Now, which way did you say?
Over to your left, Skipper. Here, I'll lead. I'll show you.
No, I shall lead. You've done enough for today. Thank you, Gilligan.
Skipper was always giving Gilligan orders on what needed to be done on the ship, and that carried over onto the island once the group became castaways. Skipper was a quick-tempered and just a little lazy, as he was always passing the harder work off to Gilligan. Rank has its privileges. For the reboot of Gilligan's Island, I chose a man that comes from a family of comedic actors, and I think that he could be both funny and show a kind of quiet kind of anger. The guy I picked was Joel Murray. Now, Joel Murray played in TV show Darman and Greg as Greg's co-worker and best friend. Joel also has credits in several movies as a background character, as well as walk-on roles in several TV shows. He is the younger brother to Bill and Brian Doyle Murray.
Oh, right, yeah, Joel Murray, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, didn't he play the brother of Scrooge in that movie Scrooged with Bill Murray?
Yeah, that was him.
Funny, because, you know, they were talking about the SS Minnow in one of them there, in that movie.
Yeah. So, you know, in Joel, I have to say, is aged rather gracefully. And it definitely is the right age group to play the grizzled ship captain. He has the background to play a comedic actor, and I feel as though he could play a loudmouth and blackguard if given the opportunity.
Oh, really? Loudmouth and blackguard? I wonder if you know anybody like that. Surprised you didn't cast me in the role of Skipper.
You didn't cast yourself, did you?
No. Hold on a second. No. Not at all. No, I did not cast myself as the Skipper.
All right, well, who did you cast for the Skipper in your version of the reboot?
Well, I kind of stuck with the whole CW thing, and I went with a guy that had some grace and dignity. He was definitely a hard-nosed guy, and the guy I picked was Matt Nabel. He was in The Arrow. He played Ra's al Ghul. He definitely has the age, and he kind of has that hard-nosed look that I could definitely see him being the Skipper to my Grant Gustin Gilligan.
Oh, interesting. So you're going with the whole CW Dreamcast thingy?
Nope, just these two guys. And, well, maybe one other one in here somewhere, if I can remember what it was. Is Michelle Keller on the CW?
No, she's not. And please, let's not go down that rabbit hole with your fascination with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Right. Okay. So, where are we at now?
Okay, so I got the Skipper done. So, it's your turn for Mr. Howell.
Okay, well, all right, so let's see, you got the Skipper, so now it's Mr. Howell, so we're doing the old guys. All right, so, Mr. Howell, played by Jim Backus.
Lester, please hurry.
Good heavens, Lovie, how do you work one of these?
Nothing to worry about now, it's hidden.
Yes, but Thurston, what happens when Gilligan and the Skipper find it missing?
Simple, we just accuse the professor.
They're just joking, my dear.
Mr. Howell, or also known as Thurston Howell III, is portrayed as a man who is so rich that he took several thousands of dollars and changes of clothes on a 3-hour tour from Hawaii. Mr. Howell is a man that represents the New England elite, and almost always shows the other castaways that he is better than them because he's rich. Yeah, you know, I wish I was rich sometimes. I'd certainly be better than some of those other guys out there, you know, like them, they're leprechauns, you know. They tend to think they're all so high and mighty because they got all
right, Jerry, come on. Let's not go down that path with
Which you were going to say road, weren't you? You were going to repeat yourself.
Okay, yeah, fine. I was going to repeat myself. You got me. So anyway, you're Thurston Howell III. Who'd you pick?
Oh, right. My Thurston Howell III. Well, I went with a guy who definitely has the age and the gravitas to play a real up-and-coming billionaire. You know, I was definitely thinking of a guy that could be like made his money in the 90s, you know, maybe off the dot-coms, and as he got older, he kind of like started creating a company called like, oh, I don't know, Amazon, something like that. You know, kind of model him a little bit after that Jeff Bezos guy. So the guy I picked was actually number two on the Starship Enterprise. I picked Jonathan Frakes. And you definitely know him from Star Trek, but his credits are, he's a voice actor. He does a lot of different voice acting and TV shows, and he's got a new Star Trek show he's going to be in with Captain Picard. Yep, it's going to be him and Picard. You know, it should be like the Jonathan Frakes hour. It's going to be awesome. You know, he was definitely my favorite, you know, lieutenant or commander of a starship. You know, I really like Jonathan Frakes.
All right, so basically you're saying that you're going to wind up, dreamcasting the CW and Star Trek? Big stretch there, buddy.
All right. Yeah, you got me. But there's kind of a little bit of theme, you know. I mean, come on, look at the man. He's definitely got the age to be a Thurston Howell, and I definitely got him pegged as like a, you know, a dot-com billionaire. He could take, you know, his character could definitely take Jeff Bezos for run for his money, you know. Get that money, run for his money, see what I did there?
Yeah, I see what you did there. Not bad. All right, so let's see. You got Jonathan Frakes, huh? All right, so my cast for the 60s reboot of Gilligan for Thurston Howell III is the great character actor Tom Wilkinson. Now, Tom has been in several movies, but his television credits include TV miniseries for Watership Down, as well as The Kennedys in 2011, where he portrayed Joe Kennedy. He was also in the Green Hornet movie, playing Seth Rogen's character's father, Jack Reed.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah, he's that British guy. He's kind of portly. You know, I could definitely see him more as like your skipper. But why'd you pick him for, you know, the role of Thurston Howell III?
Well, because Tom is, he could be take on the role of Mr. Howell. I think he'd definitely run with it. You know, for a more modern take, I think you'd be interested to see him as like a British millionaire on vacation. And with Tom's ability to play both a jerk as well as a hard-nosed father, I think he could pull off an interesting Mr. Howell. Tom's such a great character actor. I mean, I think I could bring several, I think he could bring several different emotions to the role.
Okay, all right. I got you there. So, you know, where there's a Mr. Howell, there is a Mrs. Howell, you know. See how I segued right into that? Heh, look at me. I'm a regular Paul Blart mall cop with my segues. Huh.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So, yeah. Let's dive right into the character of Mrs. Howell. And Mrs. Howell, a.k.a. Eunice Lovely Howell, was played by Natalie Schaefer.
Thurston, you'll frighten him. You shouldn't talk like that to someone who's so desperately ill.
Mrs. Howell was a rich, spoiled socialite that didn't care. Socialite. That's kind of a fun thing to say. Socialite. What is a socialite? Obviously, it's a person who likes to go out and, you know, have parties and garden clubs and all that stuff. But, you know, the name, socialite.
Hey, Matty D, you want to focus here? You know, come on, jump.
All right. So, Yeah, so she was a spoiled socialite that didn't care where her husband's money came from, but was more interested in attending her garden club and important social events. Prior to marrying Thurston, Mrs. Howe was rich, like filthy rich. Like, she was so rich that she was so used to that particular lifestyle. For my modern version of Mrs. Howe, I went with a similar actress that's used to playing a spoiled, rich socialite. I chose Jessica Walter. Now, Jessica Walter is not unfamiliar with playing a rich socialite, as I said. She played one on Arrested Development as Lucille Bluth. I think Jessica would slip right into the role of Mrs. Howe rather ease. However, to modernize her character, I would make more of a hands-on kind of woman when it comes to running the Howe fortune. She enjoys going to her high-class social events, but always balances it with being president at stockholder meetings, as well as helping Thurston with his business deals.
Hey, that's kind of neat. You know, she could be like a more, you know, go-getter kind of, you know, burn my bra, you know, women, yay, kind of, you know, billionaire's wife sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm going for. More of a, you know, she can definitely do the big number. She's concerned about their fortune as much as Thurston is. And, you know, I honestly think that she could play like a, gosh, I'm trying to think of it, a socialite who's also like a land baron.
Land baron? Jeez, man, where are you from, 1940s?
All right. So who'd you pick for Mrs. Howe?
Well, you know, funny you should ask me, because I decided to stick my whole, you know, baby boomer generation billionaire. And his wife, I thought, would be kind of neat to have a similar spin to him, or she were kind of rich too, because she got in on the ground floor, like, you know, Facebook and a bunch of other stuff, and then she fell in love with Thurston, and they got married, and never had kids yet, because they always were waiting, and as it got older, and she just kind of became more of a business first, and, you know, loved Thurston as well. So I'm dragging this on because I'm trying to remember how to pronounce her name. But I picked Gates McFadden. You might remember her from a TV show, NCIS. She played Miss Belmont. And for your people who really are in the dark and have been under a rock for the last 25, 30 years, she was in Star Trek The Next Generation.
All right, so we're going down that road again, huh?
Hey, give me a break, all right? I happen to like the show, and I think she would make a really good Thurston Howell's wife of Houston, Mrs. Howell, you know?
Hey, it's your pick. Cool. I'm kind of curious to see what you've got for a storyline.
Oh, yeah. You're going to love this. Yeah, she's definitely going to be an integral part of that whole storyline I have for my first episode.
Cool. All right. And now, momentary pause for a quick commercial break.
Hey, this is Jerry. You ever want to make your own podcast? Don't know where to start? Don't know how to get anywhere on it? Totally lost in the dark? Like you want to make a podcast for this epic craziness with dragons and fireballs and Daenerys and, oh wait, that's Game of Thrones. Never mind. So you want to have an epic, crazy podcast? Check out podedit.com. Randall Sylvie will help you out. Number one guy out there who can help you edit a podcast, get you started. Good rates. Podedit.com. Check it out. He gets Jerry's seal of approval.
And we're back. Hey, sorry for that small commercial break, but we had a little bit of a technical problem, so we figured we'd fill in a couple commercials. Back to the show.
All right, so where'd we leave off at?
Well, let's see. We just did Thurston Howell's wife, Mrs. Howell. So the next on our list of castaways is the man who could make anything on the island out of coconuts and bamboo, the Professor, played by Russell Johnson.
Skipper, give me a hand here, will you?
Yeah, sure, Professor.
This is a wonderful way to protect our food supply. It'll be cool down there.
Yeah, Gilligan promoted a steamer truck from the Howells. Figures he'll put all the food in it and drop the whole thing in the pit.
Oh, it's a wonderful idea. You two men deserve a lot of credit.
Well, I can't take any bows this time, Professor. These were all Gilligan's decisions.
The Professor was the man of all knowledge among the castaways. He was a high school science teacher as well as a botanist and holds several PhDs from several different colleges. As I mentioned, he was always building items on the island out of bamboo and coconuts. He was able to keep the radio batteries charged using coconuts, a true survivor to have in your group. Now, for my 60s reboot take, I went a little off model and flipped the script and did a whole gender swap thing, and I chose a woman instead of a man to play the professor's role. I decided to go with an actress that could walk into a room and be the smartest person, but not talk down to anyone.
Hey, man, did you go with that new doctor? What's her name? Jodie Whittaker. Yeah, did you go with her?
No. I went with somebody completely different. I went with the American actress, Keri Russell. Now, Keri Russell was recently in the HBO series The Americans.
Right. Okay, yeah, I remember her. She played Felicity back in the early 2000s in the 90s, right?
Yeah. She did. But what I was really looking at was her way that she could portray a Russian spy in suburban America. You know, she had to show that she had the acting talent to be a smart agent as well as a great mom and a loving wife. I think she definitely has the acting capability to pull out a performance to be the smartest woman in the room, and as well as to convey like a matriarchal kind of teacher.
Oh, right. That's a great idea. I like that idea. Wow, that's kind of cool. That's far better than who I picked for the professor.
So, who did you pick for the professor?
Oh, yeah. I kind of wish I would have picked yours, but I kept with being a guy, and I went with Tobias Menezes. So, yeah. He's an older guy. He was on Game of Thrones. He played the Stark's uncle, Sansa's uncle. You know, he was a Tully, and he's also in The Crown, and he was in that last Kate Basinger. Kate Beckinsale. Oh yeah, Kate Beckinsale. How can I screw up her name, man? Kate Beckinsale, man. Anyway, he was in that movie with her in Underworld, Blood Wars, which probably only had about, you know, four people watch it. One of them was me. Yeah. Definitely. Kate Beckinsale for, Wait. Oh, sorry. What was I? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, so Tobias Menezes, he'd be my professor. He just kind of has that look, and I think he'd probably pull off the delivery of sounding smart. Which I'm not sounding right now, because I'm too busy thinking about Kate Beckinsale.
All right, well, while Jerry kind of goes off and thinks about that for a minute, hey, buddy, really, come on, focus.
Right, sorry, okay, I'm here.
All right, so, now that we have the professor... and speaking of women, next up is the bombshell on the island, the one, the only, Ginger Grant. Ginger was portrayed famously by Tina Louise.
You're the kind of man that any young, attractive girl would love to spend the rest of her life with. Well, you're lots of things, Skipper.
The character of Ginger was the movie star on the island. She was mainly the eye candy for the show. Her main motivation on the island was helping the others with plans to get off the island. Much of her help was in assisting the professor with his experiments. Along with that, She would tell stories of her famous Hollywood friends and acquaintances. Ginger was often the recipient of the skipper's affections, but tended to have more romantic scenes with the professor. Ooh la la.
Really? You're gonna kick in an ooh la la?
Yeah, okay, so I tried. Yeah, I'm a little campy there, but come on, the show. It's the 1960s. The show was campy. Not nearly as campy as Batman 66, but still, there was some camp in there. It was a comedy. So, what if I said ooh la la? Anyway, for my modern version of Ginger Grant, since I went with a female version of the professor, I kind of scratched that whole, you know, yeah, we probably could have an interesting dynamic with Ginger Grant and the professor, female professor, but that's just kind of cramming the whole, you know, SJW down your throat. And I still went with a rather attractive woman, but I think that she's going to have a bit of a twist with the professor. The person I picked was Ellie Kemper. Now, Ellie was most recently in the TV show The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. She's a rather beautiful woman, much like Ginger Grant's character. Plus, Ellie's experience with different characters in comedies shows she can pull off something that would be different. It would be a different take on Ginger Grant. And I would think that Ellie Kemper could portray like a Ginger that could play off the professor sometimes, revealing that she is much smarter than the typical Hollywood starlet that she was casted back in the 60s. The more modern Ginger, I would say, would occasionally point out a math error or something that the professor had missed. Although she comes off as a little brainy in these situations, she still portrays a love of acting and almost hides her intelligence. With Ellie's prior roles and her acting ability, I feel like she could pull off like a hidden smart movie star.
Well, okay. I really didn't think so much of that. I was going more for like a ditzy kind of blonde for my Ginger, but, you know, well, I say ditzy blonde, but really, you know, Ginger was a redhead, hence the old name Ginger. But I like that idea. You know, you could have like the professor say something like, oh, it's the square root of the hypotenuse of the two right angles. And then, you know, your Ellie Kemper or Ginger could say like, no, professor, you're wrong.
It was the square root of the Pythagorean theorem by...
Jerry, do you even know what you're saying?
Nope, I haven't got a clue. I am not smart. I am the furthest from a smart brain scientist person anywhere. In fact, in high school, they called me NARS.
Okay. What's the NARS?
NARS. It's an acronym. You know what an acronym is?
Yeah, I know what an acronym is.
You know, when you take letters and it spells out a word?
Yes, I understand that.
You know, because of like, you know, that word scuba, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. That's an acronym.
Yes, I understand acronyms.
Okay, don't bite my head off, jeez. So NARS is not a rocket science guy.
You mean scientist?
Yeah, that's what I said. Science guy. Science. Wow.
Okay. Anyway, back to Ginger. So, yeah, my Ginger was Ellie Kemper. So, I'm afraid to ask, Jerry, but who did you pick?
Hey, so glad you could ask. So, I went with kind of a great actress who was both beautiful, and she could definitely pull off like the kind of ditzy blonde, but more concerned about acting than any kind of smart thing, and just really wants to get off the island. You know, maybe she's like always looking at her cell phone wondering, gosh, I wish I could totally tweet. Wait a minute. Are we still under the same rules that this is like set in the 60s as well?
You know, we're taking a modern take on it, so we could probably, you know, move the timeline forward if that's what you're focusing on, then yeah.
All right, cool. Like, it'll have the same tone, the technicolor and looks and everything, but, you know, we'll have some modern day equipment. So the professor will have to try to figure out a way to keep Ginger's cell phone running, but in reality, she has no Wi-Fi, and it's not a satellite cell phone, so, let me rethink that. That might be a kind of a flaw in my Anyway, all right. So who I picked? I picked Melissa Bessonoit. I think that's how you spell it. Bessonoit.
Yeah, I think it's Bessonoit. Isn't she in the TV show from the CW, Supergirl?
Yep, that's it. I picked Supergirl. She can be my Ginger Grant. I mean, come on. She played opposite of Grant Gustin in Supergirl and The Flash, and gosh, that singing show that was crazy, driving everybody crazy back in the mid 2000s. What was it? Glee, Gleek Speak, Geek.
It was Glee.
Oh, right. Yeah, I never really watched the show. I just heard that those two were on it. And honestly, I think that, Gilligan could be all, like, salivating and constantly like, oh, gee, Ginger, how can I help you out?
What kind of voice was that?
Oh, that was my Gilligan voice.
Okay, so Melissa Bessonoit. All right, well, that's a good pick. I mean, definitely picking your ditzy blondie kind of character. Yeah, I could definitely see her dressing up in like red evening gowns and you know, walking around the island. Yeah, I got it.
Cool. All right. So where are we on to next? So we did. One last castaway left. The last of the seven deadly sins. Now we're with what, Marianne? All right, yeah. Okay, so as the theme song goes, ship set sail on shore of this uncharted desert isle, Gilligan, Shaper Do, and movie star, Professor Rand, and the rest.
Don't you mean and Marianne?
Ah, whatever. They always screwed her over on the first season. Anyway, Marianne, played by Dawn Wills.
Look at this. Ginger, look what I found.
What is it?
Oh, it's some kind of native carving. Well, let's show it to the skipper. I bet he'll know what it is. Wait a minute. This will be our present. Great idea. Boy, will he be surprised.
Now, Marianne was the opposite of Ginger. She was the innocent girl next door. Yeah. I ever tell you about this website called Porn? Hey!
No, come on. Focus.
Sorry. I was just going to say Pornhub, but, you know, the girl next door, that's a whole category of stuff.
Jerry, let's try to keep this clean, okay?
Sure. Sorry. So she was the one that did most of the cooking on the island and often mentioned the chores that she would do on the farm, on her Kansas farm, no louse. She was also both a friend and a foil to Ginger. Oftentimes, she was showing jealousy of the beautiful movie star, which definitely puts her in the seven deadly sins as jealousy. Yep. And we didn't mention any other sins for the other cast, but you can pretty much figure it out because you're a smart listener, aren't you?
Jerry, let's not, talk down. Yeah, let's carry on.
All right. So Gilligan often helped Marianne on the island with the day-to-day chores. Many times, as a reward for helping out Marianne, she would bake him a coconut cream pie.
Yeah, coconut cream pies. You know, my wife makes a really good coconut cream pie, and you know, as I think about it, I think I married Marianne.
Hey, look, whatever you and your wife do is between you and her, and we really don't want to hear it.
Oh, sorry. Just suddenly hungry for a coconut cream pie.
All right. Yeah, let's focus. You know, you're always telling me to focus.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, coconut cream pie is really good. Why, in fact, just the other day, my wife made a coconut cream pie, and it was like just the right amount of coconut and the right amount of sweetness.
All right, come on, man.
Sorry. You're always running off on tangents, can't I?
Yeah, all right, well, look, let's try to wrap this up. We're already punching into, like, an hour mark.
All right. So, who'd you pick for your Marianne?
Oh, that's easy. So, I wanted to go with somebody that could both portray class, elegance, and the ability to kick butt.
So there's a lot of butt kicking on the island.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, you always had the guest baddie show up. You never know when, like, say, a hellmouth might open up in the middle of the island and this huge vampire comes jumping out.
Jerry, I'm afraid to ask. I really, really am afraid to ask. But who did you pick for your Miriam?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, like I said, if a hellmouth opened up, you'd really want somebody there to be able to kick her butt. And I went with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Why am I not surprised?
What's wrong with her?
Absolutely nothing. She's a great actress. I really like her. I think she could probably do a decent role as Marianne.
Darn tootin' she can. I mean, come on. She can do anything. I mean, she was in Buffy. She fought bad guys. She was in that TV show Dead Ringer where she played herself, but then not herself, and her sister, but not her sister. And it was really cool. I mean, she has the true breath and acting ability to be Marianne. I mean, she could totally be on that island and be so cool in that, you know, skimpy dress and cooking coconut cream pies and doing laundry. And yeah, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Okay, Jerry, that's an interesting take on Marianne. I didn't realize that, you know, a requirement would be to kick butt. Yeah, because, you know, there's a whole lot of hellmouths opening up in a comedy show.
Darn tootin', it could have been a pirate. A pirate ship could be coming by and you need somebody to, like, you know, attack the pirates that are going to attack the island. And
all right, let's tell you what. Now that we know that Sarah Michelle Gellar is your Marianne, how about I share with the class my pick?
Oh, right. Sorry, I didn't mean to go all crazy hormonal there on you.
Okay, well, for my reboot of the series, I'm going way off model again with Marianne, and I'm actually going to change her name to Mark Anthony. That's right, I'm gender swapping again. So my Marianne slash Mark will be played by the wonderful actor that I feel could pull off a chef as well as a farmer slash cowboy. And I picked Sam Jones III. Now, people who don't know Sam might...
Wait a minute. Isn't he the guy that played the Flash? You know, Flash Gordon?
No. That was Sam Jones. This is a completely different actor. This is Sam Jones III. Sam played Pete Ross in the CW show Smallville, as well as Craig Shiloh in Blue Mountain State.
Wait a minute. You're talking about Smallville?
Yeah. The Superman TV show on the CW.
All right. I got nothing against the CW. I got nothing against the TV show Smallville. But aren't you kind of like getting a little risque there with, don't you know what hell happened from the some of the cast members in Smallville?
You know what, Jerry, let's not go down that rabbit hole. We know there's a lot of stuff going on with a certain cast member, and let's just not go down that.
All right. I'm just saying, you're kind of taking a risky chance there, casting somebody from that show, you know. You don't know what...
Look, Jerry, let's just focus. So, Sam Jones. He has the talent and the acting chops to play a younger character who is more comfortable on a farm than talking to women. Kind of like Marianne was comfortable on a farm than, you know, dealing with being in a, you know, big, highfalutin city. I could definitely see the Mark Anthony character helping Gilligan with... you know, building shelters, cooking the meals, looking for food on the island. Perhaps Mark mentions a lot about his grandma and who taught him a lot about cooking and fixing stuff. You know, I could see him being a character who was like raised by his grandmother on a farm somewhere, you know, a real down home kind of person. And so, yeah, that's who I would pick for my Marianne slash Mark Anthony.
So let's get this straight. You flipped the script and you decided to go with a gender swap and you just renamed the entire character.
Well, yeah, but I went with like a similar initial. I went with M.A., you know, Marianne, Mark Anthony.
All right. I'll let it fly because, you know, it's your show.
Well, thank you. I could consider it our show because, you know, coming on, you're helping out, you know. So that's our cast of characters for the 60s reboot of Gilligan Island. So let's do a quick recap, and I'll tell you all my people, and then we'll move on from there to our ideas for how the show would run.
All right. Sounds good. Tell you what, let me do my quick cast again. So for Gilligan, we got Grant Gustin. The skipper, we got Matt Nabel. Professor, we got Tobias Menez. Mr. Howell, we got the great Jonathan Frakes. Beam me up. Mrs. Howell, I got fellow Star Trek star, Gates McFadden. And Ginger, I got Melissa Besnoit. And for Marianne, I got the great Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah, best pick ever, Sarah Michelle Gellar. You know, if only I could find a way to keep her in all TV shows.
All right, Jerry, let me tell you about my list again. Let me recap mine. So for my Gilligan, I picked Charlie Cox. For the skipper, I picked Joel Murray. For Professor Howell, I picked Tom Wilkins. Mrs. Howell is Jessica Walter. Let's see. My Ginger is Ellie Kemper. My professor is Carrie Russell. And my Marianne is actually a guy named Mark Anthony is Sam Jones. So that is my list of characters. All right, Jerry, so why don't you tell us what you would pick for a script for a 1960s reboot of Gilligan's Island?
All right, so picture this. The show would combine Gilligan and Fantasy Island. And so the ship sets sail from Hawaii, and there's this huge storm, and the whole thing gets tipped over, and they land on this island. And what they don't know is that it's not a deserted island, but it's actually an island that has an old man and a short little guy named Tattoo. But we'll rename him for... we'll call him Jerry. And so Jerry pretty much, you know, greets everybody as they wake up on the island. And he's wearing like a three-piece business suit. And he says, "Hello. Welcome to Fantasy Gnome Island." And so he shows the seven crew members to individual huts that he and the old man made.
All right, Jerry. So you're combining Fantasy Island with Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, you got a problem with that?
No. Go on. Carry on.
All right. So anyway, so they decide that they're going to check this island out. And even though they're stranded on it, turns out that many people show up off of an airplane. And they're kind of trapped on the island because the old man says, "I need people to fill in for me to help other people with their fantasies."
Okay, that's interesting. Carry on.
So anyway, Ginger winds up finding that she really likes short guys and starts falling in love with Jerry, the gnome, and there's this whole love triangle thing between her and Jerry and Gilligan, until one day Jerry and Gilligan get into a tiff fight, and next thing you know, there's just total chaos as the huts start falling over, and Jerry starts kicking the crap out of Gilligan, and next thing you know, there's only like four people left on the island. It's, well, yeah, that's what I got.
So let me get this straight. You're recasting the entire show, and basically it's a pure fantasy for you and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No, not at all. Jerry character is a completely different character than me. Not Jerry the gnome.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That's an interesting take. Tell you what, let me tell you a little bit about what I wrote for my 1960s reboot of Gilligan's Island. So we have the cast that I mentioned. Now, here's a quick synopsis of the first episode of the 60s reboot version of Gilligan's Island. In a marina off of Hawaii, a small boat called the SS Minnow is taking off. On board is a two-man crew as well as five passengers. The five are sitting on the deck of the boat as the captain welcomes them on a three-hour cruise of the Hawaiian Islands. After a while, the passengers make small talk. We learn their names, what brought them to the boat. Mark Anthony and Ginger are on a boat tour as Mark won a radio call and show for a chance to meet the movie star Ginger Grant, and he gets to spend an entire afternoon with her and her entourage. Ginger mentions that her entourage was busy or sick, and that she was willing to go on the cruise with Mark since he seemed like such a nice young man. We also learn that the Howells are there on their third honeymoon anniversary getaway. The professor is on board because she was experiencing writer's block on her recent botany book, Our Friends the Ferns, and her editor recommended the boat tour to get her out of the hotel room and away from her tablet. As they enjoy the tour, the captain tells them about the sights as the engine stalls and the weather starts to turn. The skipper radios for assistance from the Coast Guard. They tell him there's about to be a major typhoon heading their way, and they will try to get to them quickly. Suddenly, the typhoon hits. Suddenly, the boat capsizes, and the crew and the passengers are knocked out. Like, physically knocked out.
Oh, right, right. I didn't think they're, like, knocked out of the boat, but, like, they hit their head.
Yes. The next morning, on a small island in the Pacific, half of the ship of the SS Minnow has washed up on shore. The first mate, Gilligan, stumbles out of the wreckage onto the shore. He sees the passengers and his skipper are all there lying on the beach, starting to wake up. Thus, our seven castaways are now on the deserted island. The rest of the episode is them finding ways to contact the Coast Guard or a passing vessel, as well as pretty much failure due to the lack of power or hardware or just Gilligan's dumb luck. Each episode after that will be a problem of the week as they attempt to get off the island, but Gilligan keeps screwing up their plans.
Okay, so basically it's just a rehash of the entire 1960s TV series. Kind of change or anything?
Well, you know, there'd be a lot more dynamic between the characters in the fact that, you know, I did that gender swap. Maybe, you know, Gilligan falls in love with the professor instead of, you know, pining over Marianne like he did in the original TV show. You know, perhaps Mark Anthony, you know, shows that Ginger could really like, Mark Anthony could probably bring out more of Ginger's, you know, intelligence and definitely show her that he has, you know, heart. There could be like a love interest there. As far as conflict, I mean, Gilligan could always be messing things up. Ginger could, you know, try the whole cell phone thing where like she can't get the cell phone to work and she's constantly talking to the professor about, you know, coming up with new ways to create new batteries in order to charge the phone.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I can see that.
Great. All right, folks. Well, this has been the 60s reboot of Gilligan's Island. If you've enjoyed this episode...
Wait. Are we wrapping things up? Because I got one last thing to say.
Okay.
So, I liked your cast. I liked who you picked. I liked your theory and your story. You know, I liked the whole gender swap thing. But what you really need to change your cast with, which could really bring it out, is putting in more Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Really? We're going that route?
Well, I just want to say her name one last time. It's fun to say. Sarah Michelle Gellar.
All right, Jerry. Well, thank you very much. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you've enjoyed this episode, then leave a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. If you'd like to express your opinion on my picks or Jerry's picks, feel free to email your show. Feel free to email the show at 60sreboot@gmail.com. That's 60sreboot@gmail.com. And I'll read your email on the show. Also, you can see our show's website at 60sreboot.blogspot.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at 60sreboot2. And lastly, we're proud to be part of the Electronic Media Collective. All right, Jerry, is there anything you want to include where anyone can find you or listen to you?
Well, not really. I'm still working on that podcast, and tell you what, if you want to send a tweet to Matty D, he'll make sure I get it. If you want to email me, just go ahead and email the show, and I'm sure it'll get passed on to me. And yeah, that's about it. Oh, and go listen to the rest of the shows on the EMC, because there's a lot of great stuff out there.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Jerry. And thanks again for coming by and picking out cast members for a 60s reboot. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and have a great day.
Or night. Day or night. Have a great day or night.
Yes, have a great day or night. This is Matty D signing off.
This is Jerry the Gnome signing off. Later, Gator.
After a while, Crocodile. Do you like comic books? Do you have kids? Do you want to introduce your kids to some comic books that you feel should be more appropriate for their age? Then check out Matty D's Comics with My Kids, a podcast with his two kids, Logan and Melody, in which they review classic comic books for kids. That's Comics with My Kids. Check it out at Stitchers, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and on the EMC Network.